God, in a word of prayer. Father, we invite you and your Holy Spirit into this church today. Again, settle into us. Let this message be a blessing to us and to your kingdom. Grow us. Let it grow us for you and to do your work, to follow you. And again, we love you. And we can't even fathom the love you have for us, Father. We come to you as always in Jesus Christ's precious and powerful name. Amen. Well, today I titled our sermon, Vision and Potential, because doesn't that kind of guide our lives? I think about when I was a boy and my parents said, "What do you want to be when you grow up, Kobe?" I said, "I want to be a veterinarian," because I loved animals. We lived in the country. We had horses. I always had at least one dog, sometimes two or three. We had cats. I mean, I really loved animals. So that's what I wanted to be. That was my vision. I would be a veterinarian. But you know what? Then I got into school and the mathematics, and that was not my strong point. It's not my strong point. And as I struggled in math, I started to realize that maybe that vision would be hard to reach the potential of. So that kind of went to the wayside. But we have visions. We have visions for everything. We have visions for what we want to do. We have visions for our marriage, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our vacations, for the house we want to live in. Usually we don't just grasp them in, you know, kind of randomly. We have a vision for the kind of car we want to buy. And so we have these visions, and then then that becomes a goal. And if we really go after, people say, "Wow, that person has a relentless passion to reach their goal." It might be to be a CEO of a company. It might be to be a medical doctor. It might be to have a brand new car, whatever it is. People have a passion for it because they have a vision. Now they want it, and they go for it with a real passion. If we fail in our career, fail in a marriage, however we do it, often if our vision doesn't become achieved, if we don't reach our potential, then we identify ourselves as that. We failed. We're a failure because we never got the big promotion. We're a failure because we never could afford the house we wanted. We're a failure because we didn't get, whatever, something we wanted, the job, we never became the boss, whatever it might be. So we go through life, and I see that in divorce care. People come in there and they're identifying as one thing. I'm a loser, I'm a failure because I lost my marriage. Well, we do that with all our visions. I mean, in sports, if we don't win the big game, if we mess up a play and lose the game for the team, we're a failure because our vision was we would win a championship. But guess what? We didn't because I dropped the ball. And, that's something we even say about dropping the ball. But today I don't want to talk about those visions, which are all worldly visions. I want to talk about godly visions. Because God gives us a vision if we submit ourselves to Him, invite Him into our life. God gave me another vision when I was young, early teens. He gave me a vision. He said, "Kobe, I want you to be a pastor." And I said, "Maybe I'll do that." Then I went off to college, and the world kind of sucked me in at college, You can imagine what kids do in college, right? And the school, which was supposed to be a school to prepare you to go to college, was very liberal, very secular. They actually were almost mocking this book in my classes. So with that, and being out of the house and on my own, and having the temptations of a young man, I thought, this is not for me. And so I said, "No, thanks, God. That's not my vision any longer." But God's funny, isn't He? Because I submitted myself to Him later in my life, and here I am standing here. And I still say, "God, you got a great sense of humor," because I pretty much said no thank you like many times. Again, no thanks. Once again, that'd be a no. Ah, that's a no. But here I am at 58 years old standing here in front of a church. So, godly visions. In our readings today, Jesus had a vision when he gathered disciples and he said, "We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be mocked, spit on, beaten, and killed. That's the vision I'm getting from my Heavenly Father. That's what's going to happen to me. Let's go. Now, if I got that vision, I said no to God just about being a pastor. If I got that vision today, Kobe, we want you to go to Siren. They're going to flog you and spit on you and beat you and kill you. But that's what I want. I'd be like, hey, let's go. You know, get in the car. Let's go. We got to get there soon. Jesus obeyed the vision. He submitted himself. Let's go, he says. So if I was eating, so even if I'm going there, I'm going to be pretty nervous going there because I know what's going to happen to me. But when he gets there to Jerusalem, and now you got to picture this, he would have come over the Mount of Olives. From what I read, when you come over the Mount of Olives, you get a panoramic view of Jerusalem. So here's Jesus coming over the Mount of Olives on his way to Jerusalem. And what does he do? Does he say, boy, I'm really scared. Bunch of mean people down there. I wish God would smite them right now and just end this whole thing. No. And when he drew near, he's over the Mount of Olives looking down on the city, beautiful view of the city, he wept over it. And I thought, well, he's crying, right? Because I'd be crying too, like, don't make me do this. No. He's crying for them, not for himself. He's not crying because he's going to be killed. He's going to hang on a cross, endure a terrible death, have his side pierced with a sword or a lance. He's crying for them. Like I told the children, he's not crying for his family. He's not crying for his friends, his fellow Christian friends or his fellow, you know, followers. He's crying for all of them, including the men that are going to spit on him, that are going to beat him, they're going to humiliate him, they're going to nail him on the cross, that are going to go through his clothes and divide him up as spoils. That's who he's weeping for. He's showing us what? That he had as a man here, as Jesus Christ, the human being, a relentless passion for the Father's vision and work, to the point that he would ride into a town he knew he was going to be killed in. And before he got there, look down on the town and cry because he saw their destruction, not his own. He said, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that made for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. And he goes on in there and he tells them they're going to be surrounded. They're going to be wiped out. Women and children are going to be killed. No stone left unturned. And that's what happened. The Romans surrounded Jerusalem later on. And what he saw happened. And that's why he's crying. He's crying because he saw the destruction of people who couldn't, who wouldn't, and couldn't see him for who he was. And in Micah, what's the one thing that God wants to come before him with? Not with offerings. Not dressed in gaudy clothing, not with new cars, not with fancy churches, but to do justice. This is Micah. What does the Lord require of you, of me, of everyone? To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. God's primary form of love. God wants us to love the way he loves us. The way Jesus, riding into a city that he knew they were going to crucify him in, sees the city and weeps for them, not for himself, for them. In Romans, we don't have time to go to all of Romans, but Romans, I would invite you to read that again. What is our behavior as Christians? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Relentless passion for God. Be united. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. This is God's church we're in right here. It's not our church. It's not our building. It's not our altar. It's not our piano. It's not our fellowship hall. This is God's church. He created every one of us, and he created all of this. He's allowing us to come here. to worship him. And he wants us to be one body in him. Are we one body in him right here in this church? Are we showing the things that Karen read, she read verses 1 through 18? Are we showing what she read in Micah? And we're just one member, individual members, one of another. You know, this is not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the whole Christian church. And we're a member of that in this body here, in this part here. Are we one body with all the churches in Grantsburg? The Christian churches. All the churches in the world, in this country. That's what he wants. Are we weeping for Grantsburg? We have missions we give money to. And that's wonderful. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. But if Jesus rode into Grantsburg right now, would he stop and weep for Grantsburg? Would he see people in Grantsburg, a lot of them, who are facing destruction because they don't know his peace? They don't know the salvation that's offered through him? Would Jesus weep for our country? States are voting to do up to birth abortion. I think he'd weep. And I think he wants us to weep for those that don't know him. Those that persecute you, love them. Those that don't know him, do the Great Commission. Tell them about him. Go out and make disciples of all nations. The greatest commandment is what? Love God. Second one is what? Love others as yourself. So I'm just saying that I'm not judging our church, any church. I'm just saying as a general, is the church in America weeping for the people out of the church? Is the church of America one body in Christ? This church is on its 10th year. I was one of the people that planted this church. We have an annual meeting next Sunday. I think each one of us, me included, should be prayerfully submitting ourselves to God every day, but this week especially, asking God to show us the vision he wants for his church, New Hope, here in Grantsburg. Next week is a big deal. This is God's church. We're a member of the body of Christ. Jesus rode into Jerusalem and was killed for us and everyone who believes in him. Next week, this should be the priority, the annual meeting. The Super Bowl's on. God's kingdom or get home for the Super Bowl? God's kingdom or something else you got going on? This is what it's about, God's kingdom. This church is his church. We are his people. And we need to submit ourselves to him, and we need to know his vision for this church. Do we know the vision for this church? If we all felt like he's better than us, what's the vision for New Hope? Would we have the same vision, or would there be 100 visions in this room? What's our vision? Are we united as one in the body of Christ? That's my question today. And are we weeping for the people out there that don't know anything about this or this? I think it's so important that we never forget priority one is right there. And I'm included in that. I can get sucked into the world's hectic schedule, but we need to always come back to here and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want our church to do, which is your church, Father? So let's pray this week. Let's get in our Bible, see what God tells us through his word. He'll talk to us here. He'll talk to us here. And he'll talk to us through other sermons we listen to on the radio, whatever. God will speak to us. Let's let him speak to us and come next week and see if we can kind of unify vision for God's church, New Hope Lutheran. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you every week for the privilege to be here, to worship you in freedom, to live in this country that is so blessed, Father. Help us to stay focused, because it's hard, Father. It's hard to stay focused. Busy lives. We're so blessed. We have vacations. We have all the food we can possibly want to eat. We have warm houses. We have nice cars. We have money in our pocket, Father. We have so many blessings. We have health care. It goes on and on, Father. And sometimes we can lose focus, because if we don't need you sometimes, we figure like, well, we can skip prayer today. Help us to be diligent, Father, in our walk with you, and guide us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.